customer two on the program tonight. Today Baseball announced their newest class heading into Cooperstown. Three no-brainers, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, Frank Thomas, and unfortunately these days the story really tends to be about who doesn't get the nod in. Peter Schmuck joins us now. Peter, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Brett?
Doing very well. Let's actually start with Mike Mussina. I guess he was probably maybe 10-20% below where I thought he would be on his first ballot. He gets to 20% and change. I do believe he'll get in, and I think he'll have to wait another year or two, but I do think he gets in. What are your thoughts on Mike getting 20%?
Well, I was shocked that it was 20%, to be honest with you. And I didn't believe Mike would get in this year, and I don't believe he'll get in for the next 5 years, to be honest with you. I do think he'll eventually get in because his comparative numbers stack up. But the thing that shocked me, Brett, and I wrote a mini column about this in the Sun on the Sun website today, the thing that shocked me is all you have to do is go to baseballreference.com and get Mike's stats and Tom Glavine's stats and look at them, and look at them really closely. And you'll see that Mike Mussina's numbers stack up pretty favorably, not better, but pretty favorably with Tom Glavine. Now, that's not to say that he belongs there this year and alongside Tom Glavine, but he doesn't belong 70 percentage points behind Tom Glavine. Okay? Tom Glavine got 92% of the vote. He had 305 wins. Mike Mussina had 270, but Mike Mussina made 150 fewer starts. Mike Mussina had more strikeouts in 1,000 less innings. Mike Mussina, the thing that he didn't have was he didn't have Greg Maddux in the same rotation with him. And that's part of the reason that Glavine got in on the first ballot, because everyone likes to put the two of them together. It's not a good reason to completely overlook Mike Mussina. And so in that regard, I'm a little bit shocked, a little bit disheartened by that, because I am a Hall of Fame voter. I'm not allowed to vote, so I did not vote this year. But I'm a little disappointed in the fact that when the ballot is crowded, some people don't bother to do their homework and look close enough at the players they aren't going to vote for.
And then, Peter, can I weigh the fact he pitched every year of his 18-year career in the American League East in the
yep.
height of the steroid era? And I'm sorry, it's just different in the American League East. It is.
Yes, it is. And if you look at Tom, a lot of people will say, well, Tom Glavine was in the postseason more. He was in the postseason more. His numbers are slightly worse than Mike Mussina's in the postseason.
Mm.
So, I mean, Mike Mussina wasn't in it as much, but Mike Mussina did have, I think, 20, 23 postseason starts. It's not like he was a phantom in the postseason. He did go play on winning teams. He did go to the postseason. Tom Glavine was a terrific pitcher, terrific guy, one of my favorite players I ever covered, both on a baseball level and even on a baseball labor level. Really a big fan, so I was happy to see him get the votes he got. I have nothing this is not about Tom Glavine at all, but you do have to have some logic to all this. And for Mike Mussina to get 20% of the vote, 15% away from being dropped off the ballot, and frankly, Brett, it's just because the ballot was crowded with first year and top heavy with guys who were big name guys you knew were going to get in. If this was last year, Mike Mussina would be in the Hall of Fame.
You're probably right, and I hate to, you know, a lot of people still believe in the holiness of the 20-win campaign, which Mike Mussina does have one in his final year. Glavine has a bunch. But here are the facts, Peter. Mike Mussina had 16 wins when the lights went out at Camden Yards on April 12th, 1994. Okay? He had 19 wins in a strike-shortened 1995 season. He would have 20 wins in probably both of those years, if not for striking from the players. So that's another side of this. And
well,
then I mean, that's just something to consider when you're really analyzing if the 20-win mark is that important, which it shouldn't be, in my opinion. And wins, I'm not just totally dismissing. But if he had three 20-win seasons, he's getting in today.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I will say this, Brett. I don't really care too much about the difference between 20 wins and 19 wins.
Neither do
20
I.
Wins was the standard when people got 40-some starts. Okay, now they don't get 42 starts, they get 34 starts. So the standard kind of came apart at that point, and it became a bigger accomplishment with only 34 starts, no question about that. But Tom Glavine played on the best team in a lesser division for most of it, for his whole career. Or not every year was that the case, but most of those years. And so I don't inflate the 20-game season stat that much. Because, as you said, Mike Mussina would have had three in normal circumstances, and he came up one day short of a fourth. So or you know, he didn't.
He would have, yeah,
on the last day of the season. But consider this: if that's the kind of thing that you're looking at, then consider this. Mike Mussina had 9 seasons in which he won 15 or more games and had less than double-digit losses. Tom Glavine had 9 seasons in which he won 15 or more games and had less than double-digit losses. The difference there is that Mike Mussina pitched in 4 fewer seasons than Tom Glavine. So he wins that stat. He wins strikeouts. He loses ERA by a very slight margin. He wins winning percentage by a ton. And so, I'm not a Mike – well, I am a bit of a Mike Mussina apologist. I like Mike, and I covered him a long time. But the fact is, I'm just trying to make sense of the numbers. I know the percentages don't necessarily matter that much, but they do matter when they're this far apart, because this tells me one other thing. This tells me that the writers don't like Mike Mussina on a personal level. And there is some truth to that. I know that for a fact. He was, you know, if you were a Baltimore writer, Mike, when he was in Baltimore, he took care of you. We really liked him, but he wasn't a guy who cozied up to the out of town writers or the broadcast people. I know the broadcast people don't vote here, but his reputation was as a difficult guy, and I think that's playing into this now too.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, we had Rock on earlier in the week to talk about that last night. In fact, and it is odd because from my vantage point, Peter, growing up, and I've said this so many times on the radio, Mike Mussina for my generation, I put it Cal in another category. He was our favorite player. I mean, it was not even close in so many ways. We had no idea about him being, I guess, a bit of aloof. I don't know what the right word is. Maybe rubbing people the wrong way. He was admired so much, and that's what made him putting on pinstripes so devastating. How should fans in Baltimore look at Mike Mussina in these Hall of Fame attempts? Should they root for him? Should they want him to go in as an Oriole? Because, as I pointed out several times, it really isn't close. I mean, 10 years in Baltimore, 8 years in New York. His ERA was better here. He won more games here. His best seasons were here. Should fans in Baltimore root for Mike to go in as an Oriole?
Yeah, I absolutely think they should. And I understand that him going to the Yankees puts a little different spin on the whole thing. I mean, you know, the Yankees are the chief rival. When you go to the Yankees, it looks like you're thumbing your nose at Baltimore. But you have to know the totality of the situation at the time. What went on between Mike and Oriole management. And maybe also Mike looking down the road and seeing that he wasn't ever going to win here. And I couldn't disagree with him on that count, that things were declining and it wasn't going the right direction. And Mike's a very smart guy and he could see the writing on the wall. And, you know, the guy wanted to win. As it turned out, he didn't win. And that's too bad. And I know a lot of people, you know, gloat on that. But Mike, when he was here, was a great Oriole. He was a good guy in Baltimore. But Mike was a bit aloof. He could be a little bit difficult. Here's one of the problems for Mike is that he never was a self-promoter, whether it was Baltimore or New York. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom Glavine is not a big self-promoter, but he didn't have to be because he was kind of packaged with Maddux, and he was also packaged with Leo Mazzoni and the quote-unquote greatest starting rotation of the late 20th century. And Mike was more like the best pitcher in a small town that wasn't winning. And so until he got to New York, and then he got on this big stage where he's a quiet guy, and there were other people that were always kind of more in the focus than him. That matters too. Fame's a big part of it.
Peter, can you hang through a quick break?